B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Lamed Tes. We're going to start from the first Mishnah of the fourth Perek in Maseches Yuma, Toraf Bekalpi. Says the Mishnah, we're now at the stage where the Kohen Gadol is standing at the entrance, at the Shaar Nikanor, at the Mizrach wall, the Mizrach side of the Azorah, slightly over towards the Tzofin, as we saw previously. He's got the two he-goats in front of him, one that's going to be a Korban Chatos Lashem, the other one is going to be sent to the Azazel. And now the famous Geirel, the lots, he's going to determine which one is going to be the Chatos Lashem, which one is going to be Lazazel. He's going to determine that by doing lots. Toraf Bekalpi, we've already learned previously that there was a chest there with two lots inside, and he would snatch, Toraf, he would snatch the pieces, the two lots out of the chest, and he lifted up, he drew two lots, one with his right hand, one with his left hand. Echod kosov olov l'Hashem, one of them it said Hashem's name on it, l'Hashem, ve'echod kosov olov l'Azazel, and the other one had on it written l'Azazel, that animal was going to be destined to be sent to the Azazel. Continues the Mishnah, Hasgan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, would stand on his right. We've already discussed previously exactly how he was positioned, slightly behind, slightly on the side, on the right-hand side of the Kohen Gadol. V'roish Beis Av, and the head of the family, Mismoile, was towards the left of the Kohen Gadol. Imshel Shem Oyle B'yuminoi, if the lot that said on it Hashem's name, Lashem Chatos, was, or the one that had Hashem's name, came up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, which was actually a very good simon, then Hasgan, the deputy that was standing on the Kohen Gadol's right, Omer Eloi, would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, the Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yemincha, raise your right hand. V'im shel shem olo b'smoiloi, if the lot with Hashem's name on it came up, was drawn by the left hand of the Kohen Gadol, then Rosh Beis Av, the head of the family, was standing on the left of the Kohen Gadol, Omer Eloi would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hag Beis Melcha, raise your left hand. Nosnon al Shnei Asirim, then the Kohen Gadol would place the two respective lots, one on each of the goats. The lot that came in, that he drew with his right hand, would go on the right hand goat, and the one with the left hand onto the left hand goat. Voimer, and he would say, Lashem Chatos. That the kor, when he was putting the lot on the on the animal, that means the lot that had inscribed in it, Lashem, he would put it onto that goat and say, this is the goat that's going to be a Chatos Lashem. And the other one would go Lazozil. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, the Kohen Gadol didn't have to say Lashem Chatos, it would suffice for him just to say Lashem. Since he expressed and verbalized Hashem's name, all those present would answer and respond, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusoi La'olam Vo'ed. Says the Gemara, Lomor li Toraf, why did he have to snatch the lots from the chest? Why couldn't he slowly and just casually take them out? And we're explaining this according to Rashi, that says that Toraf means to snatch. Rabbi Nachmanol says the Toraf was that he would mix the chest before, in order that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't know which lot is where. But either way, according to Rashi, and the question is, why did they have to do this Toraf? Bekalpi. Lomoli Toraf Bekalpi, answers the Gemara, Kehecha deloi nechavein v'lishkel, in order that the Kohen Gadol should not deliberately take out with his right hand the lot that said Hashem's name on it, which was a good simon were that to happen, but they wanted that to be bashgocha with the geirel, with the lot, that Hashem would determine whether the right hand would take out the Lashem Chatos or the left hand. They didn't want to give a chance to the Kohen Gadol to deliberately take out the Lashem Chatos with his right hand. Says the Gemara Omar Rava, Kalpi shel eitz hoisa, the chest itself was made of wood, v'shel choil hoisa, it was not hektish, ve'eino marzekes elu shtei yudayim, there was only space inside it for his two hands. Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina asked on Rava, bishlei me'eino marzekes elu shtei yudayim, I can understand why the chest was just small enough, or just big enough, that you can put two hands in, kihecha deloi lechavin v'lishkel, in order, like we said before, that he should not be able to deliberate and take out the Lashem Chatos with his right hand. If there was more space, he could move them around and possibly feel and see what was going on, and that would destroy the effect of the lot. Elo shel choil. You're saying the chest was not made, was not hektish, it was not sanctified as hektish. Why not? Nikatcha, make it hektish. Says the Gemara, because imkain have a klishoris shel eitz, because the utensils of hektish, which are known as klishoris, will be of wood, as we saw that it was made of wood. The klishoris states le'avdinon, there was no such concept as a klishoris that was made of wood. Asks the Gemara, okay, v'na'avda de kesef, so make it of silver, v'na'avda de zav, make the chest of gold, and then it will not be wood, and then you can make it hektish, it could be a klishoris. Answers the Gemara, HaTorah chasa al mamonin shel Yisrael, the Torah did not want to, so to speak, waste Klal Yisrael's money. It was not necessary for it to be made of gold or silver, and therefore they kept it humbly made of wood, which is less expensive than silver and gold, and if it was made of wood, it could not be a klishoris. Continues the Gemara, Masnisin deloika haitana. Our Mishnah seems not to follow the opinion of the following Tana. The Tani we learnt in the Braiser, Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, Nishum Rabbi Eliezer, Hasgan v'Kohen Gadol. What did we see in our Mishnah? The Kohen Gadol puts his two hands into the chest, takes one lot out with his right hand, one with his left hand. In this Braiser, Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, Rabbi Eliezer says that Hasgan v'Kohen Gadol, which means the deputy that was standing on the right of the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol himself, they each put in one hand each, their right hand. Machnis en Yodon b'Kalpi. It means the right hand of the Zgan and the right hand of the Kohen Gadol. They would put their hands in and take out the lots. Im b'yaminoi shel Kohen Gadol oile Zgan, oile. If the lot that said Lashem on it came in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, then Hazgan, then the deputy that was standing on his right, Oimer le would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol hag b'yamincha, raise your right hand, so people can see, it can be clear, Lashem chatos, the lot of Lashem came out in your right hand. V'im b'yaminoi shel Zgan oile. If, however, the right hand of the deputy was the one that took out the lot that said on it Lashem, and the Kohen Gadol had the lot that said Lazozil, then Roish Beis Av, it was the Roish Beis Av that was standing on the left of the Kohen Gadol, Oimer Eloi LeKohen Gadol, would say to the Kohen Gadol, Dabir Milcha, say your words, namely that the Kohen Gadol should say that Lashem Chatos, that the lot that was pulled by the, that was drawn by the Zgan, is Lashem Chatos. Why did the Rosh Beis Av have to tell the Kohen Gadol to say those words? Why couldn't the Zgan say it to him? Says the Gemara, Kiven delei solik biyode, since it was the Zgan that actually took out the Lashem and the Kohen Gadol not, then Chol Shodaite would have disheartened the Kohen Gadol, so to speak, to tell the Zgan. It would be hard for him if the Zgan, who had taken out the Lashem Chatos lot, is going to tell the Kohen Gadol, no, say Lashem Chatos, you didn't take it out, don't lift your hand up, because you didn't deserve to take out the Lashem one, I did, go on, say it. That would have been too hard for the Kohen Gadol, for the Zgan to say that to him, and therefore it was the Rosh Beis Av who said to the Kohen Gadol, say the words Lashem Chatos. But Maikom Iflegi, what's the point of the Machleikus between the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Eliezer, Marasovar Yamino de Zgan Odif Mismoile de Kohen Gadol. We know that Avoida was always done with the right hand. It's the most honorable way of doing Avoida. And here we needed two hands. The question is, every person's only got one right hand. So the Kohen Gadol is either going to use his left hand, or somebody else, namely the Zgan, is going to use his right hand. The question is, what's better? Marasova Yamino de Zgan, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Eliezer said that the right hand of the Zgan is preferable, Mismoile de Kohen Gadol, rather than the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. Or Marasova, our Mishnah holds, Ki Adodi Ninu, it makes no difference if it's the right hand of the Zgan or the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, we let the Kohen Gadol take out both. Uman Hai Tana de Paligole od Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana of our Mishnah, who is it? It's an anonymous Tana, arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, who is this Tana? Says the Gemara, B'chanin Eskan HaKeyanim, who is B'chanin Eskan HaKeyanim of the Braiser. The Tana you learnt in the Braiser, B'chanin Eskan HaKeyanim, Oimer, Lomo Skan B'yamine. What was the intention, what was the whole purpose of the Skan following the Kohen Gadol and being on his right? That means the only reason that we need the Skan here, Shem ira boy psul b'kohen gadol, that if chas v'sholem something happens to the kohen gadol, that from that point on he will not be able to continue the avodah. If he became tomei, for example, then nichnas gan, then the zgan would be mushamish tachtov, the zgan would take his place and to take over. So you see clearly that the zgan was not actually involved in any of the avodah. He didn't do anything besides for being available to take over if something would happen to the kohen gadol. That's what Chanina Zgan HaKohenim said. According to Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, the zgan was needed there in order to take out one of the lots. Obviously, Chanina Zgan HaKohenim holds that the zgan did not take any part in the lots, and that's the Tanna of our Mishnah, who says that the Kohen Gadol removed both lots. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Arboim Shonosh Eshimei Shimon HaTzadik, the 40 years, where Shimon HaTzadik, he served as Kohen Gadol for 40 years, then there was a number of things that we saw there, and eight in total, eight things that happened that didn't happen after Shimon HaTzadik passed away. And what were they? Number one, Hoyo Goyrol Oyla B'yamin. Every time they did the lots during the time that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, it was always the right hand of the Kohen Gadol that took out the lot that said Hashem's name on it. Mikan ve'elech, however, after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, pa'omim oyle b'yamin, sometimes it came up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, but pa'omim oyle b'smoil, sometimes on the left. The second thing, that in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, it was v'hoyo loshin shel zohiris, the strip of red wool that was tied to the soil azazel, was malbin, it would whiten. Mikan ve'elech, after the term of Shimon HaTzadik, pa'omim malbin, u'pa'omim einu malbin, sometimes it whitened and sometimes not, and the whitening, it happened on its own. It was a nes, it became white, and it was a sign Hashem had forgiven and atoned Klal Yisrael. The third thing, that in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, v'hoyo nir maravi, the western candle, and it's a machlekes in the Gemara Menachos Tav Tzadik Ches, exactly which one this was, and it depends on the position of the menorah. Was the menorah standing from Mizrach Meiriv or from Dorom Tzofen? We don't need to go into that now, but one of the candles was called a Neir Maravi, the western candle, and it used to be Doilek. It was a nes that even though the Neir Maravi was the first candle to be lit, and the last one, and it was the last one to be extinguished, even though the same amount of oil was put into all the candles, nonetheless, the Neir Maravi lit way longer than all the rest. And this was a nes, the Gemara Shabbos Daf Chof Beis speaks about it. It was a sign that Hashem was happy with Klal Yisrael. It was a sign that Eidus L'chol Boi Olam, Shashchina Shoyer B'Yisrael. And that nes happened during the time of Shimon HaTzadik. Mikan ve'elech, however, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, po'omim doilek, po'omim kova, sometimes it would stay light, and sometimes it would get extinguished. The fourth thing, that in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, v'hoyo eishel marocha miskaber, the fire of the marocha on the mizbeach was very strong, v'lohoyu kohenim tzrichim lehovi eitzim lemarocha, the kohen did not have to add any wood onto the marocha, that means in the morning they would arrange the marocha, as we've learned about. Then they would put the shteges re'etzim, the two logs on top. That was a mitzvah that had to be done. We've learned about that. Then they would light the mizbeach, and that would suffice all day. Chutz mishnei gizre'etzim, besides for the two gizre'etzim that they would add in the afternoon, towards the end of the avodah, there was a special mitzvah. The kohenim would put the gizre'etzim onto the mizbeach. That was just because it was a mitzvah, but besides for that, it was not necessary to add any wood onto the fire of the mizbeach, because the fire in and of its own burnt very strongly. And the Kshnei Gizri Eitzim, Kedei Lekayim, Mitzvahs Eitzim, there was a mitzvah to bring the woods in the afternoon. Mikan ve'elech, however, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, Pa'omim Mizgabir, Pa'omim Mizgabir, sometimes the fire was stronger, and sometimes it was not strong. And the Kohanim would have to be engaged all day, adding woods to the fire of the Mizbeach that was not burning that strongly. The next thing, the fifth thing, in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, v'nishtalcha brocha ba'omer, was a special brocha in the Omer. The sixth thing, u'bishtei alechem, which was the Omer was the korban that was brought on the second day of Pesach, the shtei alechem was the mincha that was brought on Shavuos, b'lechem aponim, which were the breads that were removed from the shulchan every Shabbos, what was the brocha? V'kol koyin shemagiyoi kezayis, that the kohen, number one, there was a brocha that every kohen would get a kezayis. It's a discussion in the Rishonim whether that's accurate, but there were those Kohanim that received the whole Kazayis. Yesh ochlo yivosova. There were some that would eat the Kazayis and be satisfied, which is a miracle in its own right to be satisfied with a Kazayis. Yesh ochlo umoyser, and some would even eat it and be satisfied and have some left over. However, mikan ve'elech, after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, nishtalchom me'iro, then a curse applied to the Omer, the Shtei Alechem, and the Lechem upon him. V'kol Kohen Magiyoi Kapul, and there were Kohenim who would just receive a tiny bit of the breads of the Minchas, the size of a bean, and it wouldn't satisfy them. And Rashi seems to say that in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, even the Kohenim that received just a bit, the size of a bean, at least it would satisfy them. So there's not eight things. These are the seven things that happened in the S'chus of Shimon HaTzadik, and in the time after Shimon HaTzadik, because the Kohanim were just getting a bean size of the Mincha, Hatznuim, the pious people, the more modest people, Moishchines Yodem, they would remove their hands from it, they would not go and collect this tiny piece that was so small, it wasn't even a Kazayis, it didn't even satisfy them, they would not go and queue up to get this little piece of Mincha. However, V'agargaronin, but the gluttons, Noitlin V'oichlin, they would take whatever they could get their hands on and eat it. There was an incident with one of these gluttons, Shenot al Chelkoi, that he took his own portion, and he also took the part of his friend, also a glutton. Tosis discusses that here. And they would call this person who grabbed the mincha Ben Chamtzon. It doesn't mean the son of the robber, the son of the thief, it's just the title, like Ben Torah. It means that he was a person, his personality, or what he was named a robber. Ad Yoy Moisoy, his whole life till the day he died. Omar Rabbi Bar Shila. Rabbi Bar Shila asked, Mikro, where do you find in the Posuk some place that the word Chamtzon, which is what they called him, is a term for a robber? Says the Gemara, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Elohai, referring to Hashem, Paltaini, deliver me miyad rasha, from the hands of the wicked, mikaf, from the palms of Ma'avil, which is the not straight people, v'choymeitz, and the thieves. So pasuk in Tehillim. So you see that the word choymeitz is referring to thieves. And this person who stole the mincha of his friend was called a chamtzon. Rava Omar, Rava says a different posuk, in Yeshaya, Mehocha. The posuk says, Limdu Hatev, learn Hatev. Dirushu Mishpat, you should seek justice. Ashru Chomoitz, which means support those that have been robbed. Shiftu Yosem Rivu Almono. And then the Gemara adds on four words, which Rashi says is most significant in Masechah Sanhedrin. Daf Lamed Hei doesn't really apply here, but from the Pasuk we see that it's that Ashru Chomoitz, which means that you should support the one that's been robbed, V'alta Ashru Chomoitz, and do not support the one who is the robber. And that applies to a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. That year that Shimon HaTzadik, who was a Kohen Gadol, passed away, Omar Lohem, he said to them on Yom Kippur, when Shimon HaTzadik came out to finish the Avodah of Yom Kippur, he said to the people, B'shono zu hu meis, this year, he, referring to himself, is going to die. Omru lo minayin ato yodea, they asked Shimon HaTzadik, how do you know that you're going to die this year? Omar Lohem, he said to them as follows, B'chol yoyim ha-kippurim, every Yom Kippur, he's been there for 40 years, every year, hoyom mizdamin li, Zokin Echod, an elder, I met an elder, Lovush Levonim, was dressed in white, V'otuf Levonim, and wrapped in a white head covering, Nichnas Imi, he would come into the Kodesh Kadoshim with me, V'yotso Imi, and he would come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim with me, V'hayoim, but today, this Yom Kippur, Nizdamin li Zokin Echod, indeed, I met an elder, Lovush Chayrim, but this year he was wearing black, V'otuf Shchayrim, he was wrapped in black headgear. Nichnas Imi, he came in with me into the Kodesh Kadoshim. V'lo Yotzo Imi, did not come out with me. Achar HaRegel, what happened after Yom Tov? Cholo Shivas Yomim, Shimon HaTzadik became sick for 7 days, Umeis, and he passed away. V'nimnu Ochiv HaKoyanim Melevorech B'Shem, from that point on, the Koyanim, even though they were used to saying Shem Hashem, and this is a sugya in Soita that we're going to learn about at length, it's a Mishnah in Soita, but in the Beis HaMikdosh, unlike outside the Beis HaMikdosh today, when we see Hashem's name written in a Siddur, in a Chumash, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Oy Vavoy, if you read that out, you're not allowed to, we say Adnus, that's how we read it. Loi Kemo She'ani Nikro, Ani Nichtov, we learned about that in Gemara and Pesachim. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's name was said out in the way it was written, and only in the Beis HaMikdash. And however, the Gemara is now saying that after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, then they were no longer worthy of saying Hashem's name as it is, as it's written with the letters. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Arboim Shana Koidim Churban HaBayis, 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Lo Hayo Geirul Oyla B'Yamin, the Geirul did not, the lot that said Hashem's name on it was not drawn by the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, and the strip of the go of red wool did not become whitened, and the western candle did not stay burning, and the doors of the Heichal would open on their own, and the doors opening on their own was actually a sign of the Churban. We're going to soon see a pasuk. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had an issue, and he said to the doors, he cried out to the doors and says, well, that it's true that when the Beis HaMikdash is going to get destroyed, the doors are going to open up for the enemies to come in. Otherwise, the enemies would not have been able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But why 40 years in advance? Acha gar ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shouted at the doors and rebuked them and said, Omar lo, and said to the doors, hey, or said to the Heichal, it seems, Heichal, Heichal. Why are you terrifying yourselves? I know that the end will be that you're going to get destroyed. Zechariah ben Idoi, and Zechariah ben Idoi already prophesied in the pasuk in Zechariah, the Beis HaMikdash, which is referred to as Levonoin, open up your doors. And let the fire consume your cedars. But why are you doing it now, 40 years before the time of the Churban? Continues the Gemara, Omer B'Yitzchok ben Tavloi, Lomo Nikro Shmoi Levonin, why is the Beis HaMikdash referred to as Levonin, which the word Levonin itself has a connotation of being white. Lovon is white. Shemal ben Avinisem Shal Yisrael, it whitens the remains of the Averis. Averis are considered red, and like we saw before from the red, the strip of wool that became whitened, the Beis HaMikdash, so the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is Shemal bin Avinisem Shal Yisrael, then that's why the Beis HaMikdash was called a whitener. It was called Levonin. Omar of Zutra Bar Tovia, Lomo Nikro Shmoy Yar, why is the Beis HaMikdash referred to as a forest, or what's the source? It says in the Pasuk says that Beis Ya'ar HaLevonin, the home of the forest called Levonin. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called a forest? Lo yimer lecha to teach us ma yar melavlev, in the same way as a forest where there's woods growing, it blooms and blossoms. Af Beis HaMikdash melavlev, so too in the Beis HaMikdash there was blooming and blossoming. Where do we see this? We already saw this previously on Daf Chafalef Amud Beis. The Omer Poishia, B'shar Shebona Shleim Beis HaMikdash Shleim HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, not a boy planted in the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Minei Megodim, lots of fine fruit, Shel Zohav, made of gold. Gold is inanimate, it's not alive, it doesn't grow. V'hoyu Meitzin Peiros Bizmanim, and these gold fruits, they would produce fruits. I mean, there were trees of Notabayu, there were trees, fruit trees, and they would actually produce fruits at the time of the harvest, at the time of the produce. V'kivon sharuach menashevas behem, when the wind would blow these fruits, hoyu noishim perisim, the fruits, these golden fruits would fall down. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, yirash kalavonoin perioi, that its fruits of the Beis HaMikdash, known as levonoin, would rustle. And the Kohanim, they would sell these gold fruits, and that's how they would sustain themselves. As soon as the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdash, Yovshu, they dried out. Shenemar, as it says, Uferach Levonoin Umlol, these flowers of Levonoin became devastated. They became withered and they dried out. However, the Mirtz Hashem, with the rebuilding of the next Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is going to return to us these fruits and this miracle. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Paroyach Tifrach, that the Beis HaMikdash will surely blossom again, V'sogil, and rejoice, Af gilas varanin, and there'll be lots of joy there in the Beis HaMikdosh. Kvoit ha-levonoin nitan lo, the glory of levonoin will be given to it, it will return. Continues the Gemara. Nosnon al shnei ha-seirim, that the Kohen Gadol, who would draw the two lots, he would put the two lots, the one that came up in his right hand, he would put on the right goat, and the one on the left hand, he would put on the left goat. Tonu rabbonon. 10 times the Kohen Gadol mentioned Hashem's name, and he actually mentioned it, as we said before, by verbalizing the way it's actually written with Yud Kei Vav Kei. And this forum discussed exactly with what pronunciation it was, with what nikud, but he would say Hashem's name 10 times. Gimel Bevidui Rishon, 3 times when he said his confession the first time. And that's what it says in the Pasuk, Ono Hashem Chotosi, and then Ono Hashem Kapir, and then Lifnei Hashem Titoru. And we saw this already, we're going to see more about this later, and we already saw this a little bit before. Ushloisha Bevidui Sheni, and this repeated itself again with the second confession. The first confession was for the Averus of himself and his family. The next confession, the second one, was for all the Kohanim. And then Ubishloisha, and the third confession, which was for the whole of Klal Yisrael, that was Besoira Mishtalech. And that was on the confession he made on the goat that would be sent to the Azazel. That ve'echod begeirolis, and once he said Hashem's name when he said Lashem Chatos. Ukva Omru, and it was already said. We saw this on Daf Chof that ukva Omar Hashem v'nishma koyle b'yiricho. It happened that when the Kohen Gadol would say Hashem's name, and he would be heard all the way to Yiricho. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Rabbar Chana, Mi Yerushalayim li Yerichoi, the distance between Yerushalayim and Yerichoi is Asoro Parasois, is 10 Paraso. And nonetheless, there were certain things that happened in Yerushalayim that influenced all the way to Yerichoi. One of them is that Betzir Dalsois HaHechal, the hinges of the opening of the doors of the Hechal, Nishma B'Shmoino Tchumei Shabbos. That the sound of the hinges were heard for the distance of 8 times Tchum Shabbos. The Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 Amos, 8 times that is 16,000 Amos, and that's not as far as Yerichoi. It's less in distance than the 10 parasa of Yerichoi. And Tosfos here discusses and brings from the Gemara, from a Mishnah in Tomid, that one could hear the sound of the Shara Godil, which is the Shara Heichal, all the way to Yerichoi, which is further than what it says here. And Tosfos has a few explanations what part of the sound or what type of sound reached only 16,000 Amos and which reached all the way to Yerichoi. The next thing, Izim Shab Yerichoi, the goats in Yerichoi, Hoyu Misachos, they would sneeze Mereach HaKteres from the fragrance of the Kteres that was done in Yerushalayim. The next thing, Noshim Shab Yerichoi, Einon Tzrichois Lezbasei Mereach HaKteres. The women who would otherwise have perfumed themselves, that all the way to Yerichoi, the women did not need to use perfume because of the fragrance of the perfume and the scent of the Kteres. The next thing, that Kalo Shab Yerushalayim, a Kalo typically would put even more perfume. So the Kalois all the way to Yerichoi would put on perfume, just the regular woman wouldn't. But in Yerushalayim, even the Kalois would not put on perfume. Because of the fragrance of the Keteres. Omer Byosi ben Durgoi, Izim hoyu le'aba, my father had goats, Behorei Michmor, in the mountains of the Michmor, V'hoyu mis'atris mireach HaKteres, and they would sneeze from the fragrance of the Keteres. Omer B'chi bar Ovin, Omer B'shua ben Korcho, Soch li zok in Echod, one of the elders told me, related to me, that Pamachas olachti l'Shiloi, that this elder once went to Shiloi, which is where the Mishkan was, way before the time of the Beis HaMikdosh. There was a Mishkan Shiloi. And in the time of Mishkan Shiloi, they did Keteres there in Shiloi. V'hirachti reach Keteres, this elder says that Mibein Kaisleo, from between the bricks of the walls, between the walls, I could still smell the fragrance of the Keteres all the way from the time when they would do the Keteres in the Mishkan Shiloi. And in the next shir, we're going to start the next sugya from here.